Welcome in another edition of OG Podcast, where we get a chance to talk to some of the OGs in the NFL who came through the Houston Texan locker room. Today's a very, very special day. This man needs no introduction. I don't need to go through his stats, his years, everything that he accomplished. All I have to do is say three words: Hall of Fame. The first Houston Texan Hall of Famer, Andre Johnson, sitting down with us. OG Podcast, welcome in, my brother, and congratulations.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you for having me.
First of all, appreciate you for, I've been trying to get you in the studio for 10 years now, so I'm glad I finally got you. But does it ever get, you know, we're going to be transparent. We're going to have some fun here over the next 30, 40 minutes. Do you ever get annoyed or like, oh, here we go again, another congratulations on the Hall of Fame? Because as soon as I heard about it, and I just told you, I was sitting in my living room and I was screaming like it was my blood brother when I found out. But I know every time somebody sees you, they want to hear the story, they want to congratulate you. Are you getting tired of it yet?
Nah, actually, I don't think it's something you can really get tired of, man. For me, it's just, just the city of Houston and what it means to everybody, you know, like your teammates, coaches. You know, I got a chance to see Coach Kubiak this weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it's like they made it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's so exciting for everybody. So I don't think it's something you could get tired of because it's made so many people so happy, you know. So I think for me, I just enjoy that. Like, I don't want it to be just about me. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, you went to battle on the field together, so I want you to feel a part of that too. So I think that's what makes it special because everybody else feels a part of it.
You know, what you just said, I think that's why so many of your teammates, you know, that you played with, even guys that you weren't that close with, were so excited because of how genuine you are. Like, in my 12 years, I played with, like, six Hall of Famers. Right. I was never more excited than when I heard your name. And if Brian Dawkins was sitting here, I would literally say the same thing. It's because of what you just said and how humble you were. I'll never forget my first week here, and you won't remember this conversation, but I remember after a week of practice, I pulled you aside, and I was like, man, you practice like a rookie trying to make the team. And I'll never forget, you said, that's the only way I know. Like, you weren't even like, oh, thanks, man. It's because you were like, it was almost like you were saying, that's a stupid-ass statement because that's the only way I know how to go. But I don't know if you realize how that resonates with your teammates. Like, just kind of talk about that thought process.
It's so for me, as a player, I just always was like, because, you know, you coming into the NFL and you hear the story. So it's always the story, oh, they're going to try to replace you every year. So I just had a mindset where I was like, I ain't going to give them no reason to replace me. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. And that's how I approached it. And it was never in a selfish way, though. Like, I always wanted to help and bring other guys along with me. So that was just always my approach. You know, I'm going to go out here, I'm going to work my ass off, and whoever want to follow, going to follow, and who don't, they not. And, you know, they'll fall off on the wayside. So that was just always my approach to it.
When did you realize, because when you hear the leader, you know, you think of the rah-rah guys, and I'm not saying in a negative way. Like, D'Amico Ryans was a leader, but it was obviously the way he carried himself and the things he said. Right. You were a quiet leader. Like, the few times you said something, I was like, shut up, man. Right. Like, when did you realize, like, man, my voice has power? Like, about what year in the league did you realize that?
Man, this is crazy. I remember my rookie year. Jonathan Wells probably could tell you about this story. Dom Capers was our head coach when I first got here. And I remember, like, man, like, you know, Dom, old school, like, you grinding every day. And dudes was, like, really, like, beat down, like, you know, just tired, you know. And it was like, Dre, man, you the only person he'll listen to.
As a rookie.
As a rookie. Uh-huh. So I'm like, what? They was like, I'm talking about they it was like, it was so funny, bro. We were sitting in the team lounge, and I got all these veteran dudes around me telling me what I need to say to Dom Capers. So I go up there, I say what I say to him, and you know, they gave me, told me everything, what to say. It was all planned out.
That's hilarious.
And, you know, he actually listened. And, but I think in that moment, it was just like, even though I was a rookie, and another story, we was playing against Buffalo. I think it was my second or third year in the league. Jay Well, same dude, he came up to me, he was like, man, you need to speak to the team before the game. And, like, that was my first time ever doing that, like, in my life. Hmm. Like, in all my years of playing football.
High
school, college, first time ever, like, I actually spoke in front of the team.
Interesting.
And the way, like, dudes was listening to what I'm saying, like, it was just kind of like, damn, like they, you know, it's a sense of respect, you know, so... I'll probably say that's probably the first time I really, really, like, realized, because it was the first time I ever did it.
So with the success you had in high school, college, you know, early on in the NFL, did you think they wouldn't listen, or you just didn't think about it? You were so focused on just the grind.
I was just a grinder. Like, I always felt like that was for everybody else, like, to be talking, and I just never really, that just wasn't me. That wasn't my... who I was. Eventually I had to grow into that, mm-hmm. you know, but early in my career, even in high school growing up, I just never was that guy. Like, I never felt like I needed to talk to the team but I used to always have coaches tell me, like, you the leader,
yeah,
you know, but I just wasn't a rah-rah guy.
Did you feel like the way you worked, like your work ethic, could you tell people were trying to get in line? Like, for me, when we became teammates, it was like year 9 or 10 for me. I had 2 knee braces, my knees were hurt. But when I saw you working, I was like, you know what? I need to step it up. Like, I actually thought that I need to step it up. Like, could you sense, like, even though I'm not a vocal guy, guys are kind of getting in line?
Well, I just, for me, man, like, I had some great guys, like, in college, like Santana Moss and Reggie Wayne, you know, guys I played behind. I always tell people those are like my big brothers, like, that's who I learned that from. Like, if you saw these guys, like, work. Like, I remember my receiver coach, Curtis Johnson. He was, you know, I was a freshman. And, you know, back then we had freshman practice before the, you know, the veteran guys would come in. And he was like, don't worry, wait till these other guys, wait till Santana and Reggie them get here. Y'all gonna really see what it is. Cause like our first day, me, Kevin Beard, this other guy named Anthony Johnson, like, man, he used to make us do cone drills before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was our first thing we would do, like, right out of warm-ups. And we would be like dead. Like, and I didn't really realize like how great a shape you had to get in. Like, all that was a real like learning experience for me. So but just being around those guys, Santana and Reggie, like, they gave me like the blueprint of what it was as far as like just working and grinding and really working on your craft, you know, as a wide receiver. So,
you know, that's interesting because everyone always talks about the culture, but it sounds like y'all really had the culture of when you get to the U, and for those under a rock who don't know, he went to Miami. Once you get there, you know, you're going to have to put in the work. Michael Irvin, way before your time, they even had that same mentality. So do you even know where it started from as far as that culture?
Well, I mean, it had to start from the guys that was, you know.
From the 80s, maybe?
Yeah. I think Mike, Lonzo Highsmith,
yeah.
Jerome Brown, God rest his soul, all those guys, like, they laid the foundation, you know, and it was a standard that was set. Like, you knew when you went to the University of Miami, it was a certain standard. You had to carry yourself a certain way. But at the same time, it was just like, when you come out that tunnel on Saturday, you would see so many guys, like former players, like the support was crazy.
Huh.
So, and you ain't wanna let them dudes down because for me, I grew up watching it,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I knew what it was about, and as a kid, I used to always be like, man, I want to be a part of that. Like, it's something special about, you know, them dudes that wear that U on their helmet. So I always wanted to be a part of it, and, you know, when you got that, man, like, man, I done seen dudes get called out. Man, we used to have, some couches set up in the locker room. We used to call it the ring. Mm-hmm. And you want to do what you were supposed to do, you had to get in that ring. Like, it was like that.
And
like,
do what? Can you say?
Oh, yeah, nah, you going to wrestle.
Okay.
Like.
With somebody who calls you out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, it's going down. Like.
So what's real about that? If you call someone out, you better handle your business.
Yeah. So. Most definitely. But if somebody called you out, trust me, you're going to be in for a fight. Like, it was just different, man. I tell people all the time, because they always be like, man, how was it at Miami? I'm like, man, like, I don't think words can really describe it. You had to be there to see it. But it was a standard, like, man, you might have had some guys that didn't get along, but when we got on that football field, we knew it was about one thing and one thing only, you know. So that's what made it special, man. I tell people all the time, that was some of the best days of my life.
I'm getting goosebumps because I could feel it, but I didn't experience that in my college, which is kind of hard to believe considering I went to Rice. You probably thought we had that same, you know, don't laugh too hard, but you know, that I'm getting goosebumps listening, and you kind of answered what my next question was going to be. I was going to ask you, but it sounds like from day one, you knew that was the school you wanted to go to.
Yeah.
When did you know that was going to be a reality? Like, what year in high school?
So I'd probably say my it probably didn't really hit me until my senior year. I think for me, I was just kind of enjoying high school, you know, while I was there. And I remember my high school coach one day, he put me to the side. He's like, hey, man, like, you don't talk about college. Like, you don't talk about nothing. Like, he was like, what you plan on doing? You know, like, I was just focused on I was just having fun playing football, man. Like, you know, I'm a kid. Like, so, but I remember my senior year, he put me to the side. He was just like, you know, what schools you like, you know. So he was like, if you had to give me five schools, give me five schools. So that's kind of like where it started. Like, when I really started taking I always wanted to go to college, but I just didn't, you know, I ain't really know the whole process of getting cleared by the clearinghouse and have to, you know, to do certain stuff before you're able to go. But so that's when it kind of like really took off. And like once he told me about it, that's when I really just like, after that, it was just like, okay, I need to do this. I need to make sure I got a certain GPA, got to take my SAT, ACT, all that stuff. So it was, I'd probably say the summer of my going into my senior was when it really like just kind of hit me.
So he asked for five. I'm only going to ask for two. Yeah. Outside of the U, what was your second choice?
I tell people this. They don't believe it. I almost went to USC, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a long way from home.
Yeah.
Did you take a visit?
Yeah.
Is that what did it?
Yeah.
Okay. we'll leave that one over. That's for the after-hour show.
Yeah, Ogeron was recruiting me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, Keyshawn Johnson is already gone, right?
Yeah, he's gone.
He's definitely.
Yeah, he's with the Jets at the time. Paul Hackett was the coach. Hugh Jackson was the offensive coordinator.
Huh.
Ogeron was the D-line coach. Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Was the quarterback.
Okay, so I could definitely see.
Yeah.
Why that would have been exciting. I like what you said because, you know, you've met my sons. They're of the age, and I think a lot of their friends don't appreciate just having fun in high school because now it's what are you rated? Who's looking at you as a sophomore? And I always feel like a lot of these kids aren't enjoying just the process and playing in high school ball. Right. So now I'm going to ask you a tough one. You obviously played in Florida. You're a Miami guy. You've been here, and I know you love the sport of football. You go to some of the high school games. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know where I'm going. Texas high school football, Texas high school football, or Florida.
Yeah, you know, I'm biased. I'm taking Florida all day.
Speed? Is because of the speed? Or just...
No, I wouldn't say speed. I think, and this is just my personal opinion and what I see from just being here. So I've been here 20 years now. If you go see a Little League football game in Miami and you go watch a Little League football game in Texas...
It's different.
It's totally different.
How?
Little League football in Miami is different. Like, when I say different, like, you might go to the park, it might be 10,000 people out there.
For a Little League game?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, that's all you had to say?
No, but it's like, it's different, bro. Like, okay. It's Little League football in Miami, it's crazy. I'm talking about people coming out there 7 in the morning with their barbecue grills, and you want to see the pretty ladies.
For Pee Wee football, yeah, Little League football.
Go to the park.
Wow.
During football season.
Look, I've never seen, you've seen both, so I guess I can't argue with that. I will say this. The guys that I, and you don't like to put these umbrella statements because there's outliers, but growing up in Texas, I'm a little biased, but I will say this. When I played with somebody, I could tell before I asked, oh, he probably from Florida. You know, just by the way they care, in a positive way.
Right,
the way
right.
they carry themselves on the field, the grind. And if I'm wrong and they're not from Florida, they're typically from Mississippi or Alabama. There's just something about where the Texas high school players, I think they call them stars before they're stars, where y'all are very talented, but y'all still have that grind.
Well, I tell you the difference, too, is like it's the facilities and things you guys have here, we don't have that.
Gotcha.
So to me, and there's no disrespect to anybody that's played in Texas or went to high school here, like you say, I go to games. I think Houston has a lot of talent, Texas period, just in football. But I think they're maybe a little spoiled, a little more spoiled than we are because – like, I go to these stadiums, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, in Miami, you ain't playing in that. Like, you playing, they might have to feel covered up with some dirt. Like, you know, like, it's just different now. You know, they starting to put a lot of the field turf down now. And a lot of the stadium, like the stadium I played in, they finally put, you know, field turf and stuff in. And now they're redoing a lot of the parks and stuff down there. But, like, when I got here and I saw some of the high school facilities, I'm like, man, if you would have saw my high school weight room, bro, like, trash, terrible.
Yeah.
But when I came here and I saw some of the stuff, I'm like, damn, this high school?
Yeah.
Like, we don't have that back home.
Do you think that gives y'all more of an appreciation when you do have the facilities that?
Definitely. Like, because when you see it, it's almost like, even when I first got here, bro, I'll never forget. I went to North Shore. I went to watch North Shore play. That was the first time I ever seen a Jumbotron in the high school stadium. And Earl Mitchell was playing on that team. Like, I was like, when I walked in the stadium, I'm like, this is a high school? Like, I'm like, we don't have this back home. Like, you know, so if I had to say the difference with that between the Miami and the Florida and the Texas thing, that's probably what I would kind of compare it to.
Within Florida, are there rivalries? Like here, you have Houston versus Dallas, Austin area, they have some.
Yeah, so in Miami, man, like Northwestern, Central, those are like Booger T. Like those are like the hearts. Columbus has really came up from when I was playing. But Northwestern, Booger T, Kara City, Central, like those teams have always been pretty consistent. St. Thomas, they have I think you could go look at St. Thomas history. That's where Michael Irvin went to school at. But like the Bosa brothers, like.
Oh, they from Florida?
Oh, they went to St. Thomas.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, so like. But that's up in Broward, but they got a St. Thomas got some players that done came up out of there.
Okay, sounds like it.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what helped mold you to become the Hall of Fame player, you know, that you are today. You'll always be a part of the Hall of Fame. How'd you truly find out? What was it? What we saw on TV? The knock on the door, or was that more just for the cameras? Like, did you?
No, that was actually I actually didn't know.
So before the knock, you didn't know you were about to be in
there? Bro, I had no clue.
Really?
Yeah.
So somebody set that up good.
Yeah, so Kennard, my agent, he set it up. So when I tell people this story, they laugh. So he called me one day. He was like, hey, man, I need to come by the house. Me and my wife, we're going to come by the house. on Thursday, and I need you to, he said, I'm changing my will. And he was like, his dad is, you know, going through cancer. He said his sister had cancer. Mm-hmm. So it made sense, you know, like when he was telling me. So he was like, man, I just want to, you know, if something ever happened to me, I just want to make sure my son is okay, and I want you to be the person to be responsible for him. So he was like, I'm going to have my lawyer come over. You're going to sign some papers. And he was like, but we got to have two witnesses.
Woo, he said this up good.
I'm like, okay. He was like, so your mom and your brother going to be the witnesses. So I was like, all right, cool. So, bro, I ain't thinking nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, we can get this over with. I go on about my day. You know what I'm saying? So we're at the house, and my mom, my brother comes.
So is he already there?
He gets there first.
Gotcha.
Him and his wife. And then my mom and my mom gets there next. Then my brother gets there like 2 minutes after her.
And obviously they know.
They don't know.
Oh. Let me shut up then. Okay, yeah, so they don't know either.
No, he the only one who know. That's why my mom screamed when I opened the door.
Yeah.
She had no clue. So we at the house, and he gives this whole speech about, hey, you know, obviously we know why we here, what's going on, and, you know, I'm changing my will, blah, blah, blah. You know, I just want Andre to be responsible for Lil Kennard. Gives a whole speech.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, all right, like, you know, I'm like, yeah, we ain't got to be doing all that. Like, let's get this over, let's sign these papers. So he busts out and say, well, the lawyer's playing. His flight was delayed, so he was like, he'd be about 30 minutes late. So I was like, all right. My brother, him and his girlfriend just had a baby boy, so he had his son with him, so my nephew. I grab my nephew, I go outside, and I'm just walking around the backyard, walking around the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother came outside, he was like, hey, Kennard say come in the house. So I'm thinking like, okay, the lawyer here, like we finna sign these papers and we going about our business. So I go in, I get my brother, his son back, and I'm kind of like standing in the kitchen, and cause I think I went to get like a bottle of water or something.
Uh-huh.
And then I hear this knock at the door. So Kennard was like, hey man, grab that. So I was like, all right, like, but I'm in my head, I'm like, why you can't grab it?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, it's your lawyer, like, you right. need to grab it. So, but I ain't thinking, I'm just like, yeah, all right. So the way my house is, like, I had to kind of like walk around to, cause I can't see the front door from where I'm standing at. So when I walked out, I seen, like, you can't see who's outside. You can make out what's outside, but you can't tell who it is.
Okay.
So I could tell there's somebody standing there, but I can't see. Like,
so you still don't know?
No, that's when I knew. When they knocked on the door and I walked around and I saw it, I was like, I know this is not about to happen.
Wow.
Like, I was like, I know this is not about to happen right now. Because I could see a guy, I could see a camera, and I could see a guy in a gold jacket. So, like, I'm just like, bro, I'm literally walking to the door, and I'm nervous as hell. Like,
wow.
I'm like, man, like, I know this is not about to happen. So when I opened the door and I saw Chris, I was just kind of like, that's why, like, you saw, like, I just turned around and put my hand around my mouth. And I was just like, damn, like I did, like, I made it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's shout out to Kennard, because that's an elaborate plan right yeah. there.
And the crazy thing, me, Cal already knew, but he didn't tell Hannah.
Okay.
But the funny thing was, me, Cal, and Hannah, and Travis, we was at the Rockets game the night before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny because Cal asked me, he said, you think you're going to get in this year?
Hmm.
But he already knew the answer. So I told him, I said, yeah, I say, I said, if it's any year that I felt the most confident about it, it was this year.
Hmm.
And he was like, oh, okay. So When I called to inform him I made it, he was like, oh, I already knew.
Wow. That's a great story.
Yeah, so it was a good time, good moment. My daughter, she didn't have a clue of, like, because she's like, why? She was like, why all these cameras here? Like, what's going on? Like,
she how old she now?
15.
Wow, time goes by fast. Yeah. Wow. So you probably can't even explain the emotion. I mean, so you knew before you opened the door because you saw the cameras.
Yeah, because that's when I knew. Like, I was like, damn, like, because I started thinking about everything he was telling me and the whole story. So I'm like, nah, it makes sense. But walking to the door was probably like one of the most nervous. Like, it was almost like you didn't. I don't want to say I didn't want to open it, but it was just like, it was a nerve. Like, it was a, I don't even know if you can explain the feeling.
I bet
like
you can.
It was just different.
So you open the door, which we all saw. Right. Chris Carter's there. After the cameras are off, what's going? I mean, are you just still processing it? Like, when the cameras are turned off, what's going on in the Johnson household?
Man, I ain't gonna lie, Andy. I had to take a moment. Like, I was sitting on the couch, bro, just trying to, like, gather your thoughts. Like what just happened?
Right.
Like, I'm sitting there, I got my hands, and I'm just, like, nobody's around me, because they was just like, you know,
let them
need to, yeah. So, it was just, bro, you just sitting there trying to take it all in, you know. And afterwards, you know, we sat around for a while. Even Candace was at my house. Candace was, like, crying. She was like, these people really just came and knocked on your door.
She came after?
No, she was there.
Oh, during?
Yeah.
Okay. For those that don't know, Candace Mayberry does an awesome job. She runs the Texan Ambassador, what's called Texan Legends program. And she obviously the biggest and best legend. She's very close with him. So, for those listening.
Yeah, she couldn't even. She was like, she couldn't stop. She was just like, they really came and knocked on your door. Like, because we would joke all the time. Like, she'd be like, we going to Vegas for Hall of Fame. Like, just, you know, like, joking around.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't know when it's going to happen. So we'd just be like, yeah, all right, whatever. Like, I just kind of brush off.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was like, even I told you, like, with my mom, like, when I opened that door, she saw Chris, she just started screaming.
Wow.
So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, it couldn't happen to a better person. Now you knew that's how they surprise people.
Yeah.
And we all know, and I guess it's different because it's actually you, but all your teammates knew, like, he's going in. It's just a matter of this year or next year, but he's going in. I felt like it should have been first ballot. Anytime somebody came to your house, were you like, oh, man, it's the damn Amazon guy? Like,
nah. You know, I never... And I tell people this all the time, like, when I made the finalist list the first time, I said to myself, I was like, I'm gonna make it. It's just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really worried about it, though.
Really?
Like, I never, like, even when I was sitting there, like, I'm not thinking in my mind, like, are they gonna come knock on my door in the
really?
Next couple days? Like, I'm not, because I'm just like, when it's gonna happen, it's meant to happen. So I'm not, and I think a lot of guys, like, I know some guys that's been up for the finals list, like Devin Hester.
Mm-hmm.
He used to get pissed when he didn't make it. Like, I remember Devin called me one time and he was like, yo, they call you yet? I'm like, yeah, bro, I ain't make it. Like, but I'm not tripping, like, it don't bother me like that, because, like I tell people, like, I can't catch another pass, I can't score another touchdown. What I've done, I've done. So when it's due to happen, it'll happen. But, you know, some guys are more passionate about it, you know. So Devin was like, it's so funny, we were actually in Canton not too long, maybe about a month ago. For our orientation, and like Joe Porter, he was like, man, I ain't want to call Devin Hester. You know, because, Devin used to get upset, man. But I never took it like that. Like, they'll call me. I remember the first two times they would call me and inform me I didn't make it. And I would just be like, man, thank you. Like, you know, it's just an honor to even be mentioned to be a finalist for the Hall of Fame. Like, and it was funny because they'll be like, well, Andre, we wish everybody else would accept the door. You know, but
yeah,
like that's just how it was. Like, you know, that's football royalty. You know what I'm saying? So like, to be in that, like, I mean, ain't nothing more, nothing else you can ask for. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I was always like, I just respect it, man. Like, so that was just always my approach to it.
I still, to this day, I mean, obviously it's you, so you had a process, but I think we were more excited than you. I don't know, are you part of the Texan Ambassador group chat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw all the messages going back and forth, but, you know, and I think what you just said is part of what makes you special and why people appreciate it for you the way they do. Like, I've liked and loved most of my teammates. I can't even think of any that I don't like. And when I heard certain guys made it to the Hall of Fame, it was kind of like, oh, man, right. That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. And again, I don't want to get too corny because you're sitting here. But when we found out you got in, like, it was kind of like, hey, kids, step away. You know, daddy's allergies are they're acting up just because of the type of person you are.
Yeah.
So, and even early in this podcast, you mentioned, like, you've appreciated because it was like we all got in. Coach Kubiak, all the guys that you play with. So that's what made it special for us. So you've processed it. I'm surprised Travis Johnson didn't mess up the surprise.
Man, listen,
like, was he there?
He wasn't there. I was just about to bring him up.
Uh-huh.
Andy, you don't understand. So mind you, I found out a week and a half before Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah.
So I got my knock maybe like a week and a half before Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't tell nobody.
Oh, for how long?
For that week and a half.
Oh, I didn't realize.
So it doesn't get unveiled until the NFL honors.
Got you.
So I couldn't tell my family. The only people that knew who was at my house. So you had to sign an NDA. You couldn't disclose it to anybody. So we in Vegas. Travis Johnson.
So Trap J.
We were together. So that was that Thursday it was announced for the show. We were together earlier that day.
In Vegas or in Houston?
In Vegas.
You and Travis?
Yes.
So are y'all, I just want to set the stage. Are y'all just there just to hang out or?
No, I'm in Vegas because I got to be there to get, to walk on the stage.
Why is
but
our boy Travis
was
there?
Already... He was just going to Vegas just for Super Bowl.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I'm sure he had his appearances and whatever he was doing out there. But so me, Travis, my mom, my daughter, and my brother, we were all like sitting in the food court.
Uh-huh.
Mike Parsons used to be the equipment guy. So we all kind of was just, you know, just catching up, you know, because I hadn't seen Mike in a while. So really we're just catching up with Mike and, you know, just talking, whatever. And so he said, Travis busts out and say, damn, dog, it's getting about that time. You ain't getting no phone call yet? So I say, Travis, I got to go up to the room. I say, they going to come knock on the door. But I'm lying.
I already
know what's going on. Like, but I'm lying because I'm like, well, y'all got to go. Y'all need to go get dressed because, you know, they take the family over first. So, like, I can't take no picture with my mama on the red carpet, none of that. Like, yeah, so, like, when you go, they take you in the back. Like, you go later, the show's already started.
Gotcha.
They take you back through this little way, put you in this room, and you sit there and just watch the show on the TV until you actually go out to be announced at the Hall of Fame. So... Travis is like, I'm in the room. So we leave from downstairs at the little food court area because, you know, I had to get my mom and my daughter them to get to the area where they needed to get to go to the show with my brother. And Travis is blowing my phone up, bro. Like, dog, you ain't heard nothing yet. I'm like, Travis, we sitting in the room, bro. Like, we just waiting to see.
He probably cursing them out, too.
Yeah, like, I'm like, we just waiting to see what's happening. He like, where your mama, everybody at? I'm like, we all sitting in the room. But I'm lying. My mom and right. them is, I'm in a room by myself. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not. So, he starts calling me again. You ain't heard nothing yet? I'm like, so it got to the point where I just stopped answering his calls.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, he's like trapdoor too much. But yeah. he was so excited. Like, he just wanted to know. He like, man, I need to know. And so when I stopped answering his calls, he started calling my brother. So, like, my brother was sending me the text messages and stuff. He like, bro, what's wrong with Travis, man? I'm like, man, he just wanted to know. I say, you know how Trap is. He just excited.
Yeah.
So he found out, of course, I didn't talk to him. Like, I just literally, like,
stopped. How hard was that just for
it
you?
It was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard because you know how close me and Travis is. So, like, it's like, I want to tell you, but I can't.
Right,
you,
right.
You know, so.
And he wasn't going to keep no secret. For those who don't know, Travis is one of the most loyal dudes. He's a huge friend of Andre. There's no way he would have kept that secret.
He was if I would have told him, he would have went crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he'd have probably been yelling and all that stuff. So so we go to the show, do everything. I see D'Amico. That was a great moment too, man. Hmm. Like, after I came off the stage and we were walking out, man, D'Amico saw me, man. He just, like, bro, we hugged and just laughed.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it was a really, really good moment afterwards. And but Travis, he found out. We went to dinner that night.
After it's public now.
Yeah, after it's public. So me, Hannah, you know, a couple people here with the organization, we all went to dinner. My mom, agent, stuff. Travis was in there. And he you could tell it really hit him, man. Like, he got emotional.
Yeah.
You know, he did get over me, though. He was like, your ass already knew. He didn't want to tell me. But I just laughed at him. But, you know, it was like I said, man, like, you could tell, like, it meant so much to so many people, man. Like,
people you probably don't even realize how much it means.
Yeah.
Like, we cool, but we don't talk like you and Travis.
Right,
and
right.
I don't think you realize what it even meant for me. And it's just because of the type of teammate you were, type of person you still are to this day. This is a weird, I hope I can kind of let people understand how odd this story is and they could get a feel for it. I don't know if you remember this. So my first year with the Texans, preseason, we're going on an away trip. And Antoine Peake, for those who don't know, outside linebacker, I love playing with Peake. But he was deathly afraid of flying.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And we didn't have assigned seats, but for some reason, he always sat behind Andre Johnson. And at the time, keep in mind, this is my first trip as a Houston Texan. It's a flight. And when I say Antoine is deathly afraid of flying, like, that's not an exaggeration. And me and Antoine are sitting in the same aisle, but he's directly behind Andre. And when the engine starts and we hit the runway, he literally wraps his arm around Andre in the seat. And he's like bear hugging him because he's afraid. And I'm thinking, because I just met Andre, but obviously I knew who he was, like, man, this Andre's going to turn around and start swinging on him. And when I tell y'all who are listening, Andre just acted like nobody was grabbing him. You just, like, it was the weirdest but coolest thing at the same time. Like, you weren't fazed by it. You weren't bothered. And in my mind, I'm like, does this happen every trip? But when he grabbed you and he's shaking your seat, you were literally, like, if you were on the phone, you wouldn't have skipped a beat. Like, explain that relationship to where that didn't bother you.
So me and Peake were drafted. We were in the same draft class.
Okay.
Came in together. And the first time we traveled my rookie year, it was when I experienced it. Like, I was just like, damn, like, this dude really, like, I've never seen nobody scared of flying like that ever in my life. So it was one other time that people don't know about this, of course, because they not on a plane with us. I was asleep one time before we actually took off. And he literally had me, like, my face and everything, like, bear hug. And I'm like, just like, this dude is crazy. But he was really, really scared of flying. And it just became something I was just used to. Like, I'm like, if it helped him feel comfortable, I guess, to be able, you know, because it would only last for, like, a few seconds. But yeah. It was just, you know, he was... I was just used to it. I ain't gonna lie though. I used to be like, "Why they keep putting him behind me?" Like, I did used to say that, but it didn't really bother me. It was something. I guess it's something you just kind of.
It just becomes y'all's process. I guess. But when I say it, and I wish I had the words so people could kind of picture it, it was like it wasn't happening. Like you weren't laughing. You weren't like, "Man, fool, get off me!" Like. Yeah. I don't know what exactly you were doing. You might have been texting, but you just didn't.
Yeah, because
you didn't skip a beat.
Yeah, it becomes like.
And I'm looking at him like, man, get your hands off.
Yeah, like it becomes. It's almost like it just became normal. You know, like.
Yeah.
I knew when we hit that runway, we about to take off. Like, all right, it's coming. Like.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just normal for me, man. Like, it didn't. Like, it got to a point where it just didn't even faze you no more. Like.
That's amazing. Like, I don't know. That's always stuck with me, and it just shows what type of... And, you know, there's this stereotype that wide receivers in the NFL are prima donnas, which you're the complete opposite of that stereotype. But, like, that vision, it kind of just encapsulates who you are. Like, the fact that, you know, the most important person on the team, the best player on the team, I know you would never say it, so I'm going to say it for you, and it's obvious... isn't phased that a backup linebacker's bear hugging him before we're going on a flight. And that's when it first kind of hit me, like, oh, okay, this guy's a little bit different. Like, even though from the way he practices and the fact that he doesn't mind getting roughed up on an away trip, he's a little bit different. Man, look, we've already reached our time limit. There's so many other things that we want to discuss, but we'll probably get to it another day, another time. I just want to congratulate you on behalf of the entire city, and more importantly, all of your teammates, because, like I said, not even the guys, you and Travis are best of friends. We all have a respect for you, but the guys that you probably didn't even realize you've impacted, I just want you to know how we feel and how excited we were. So I'm going to keep saying it. Next time I see you in an event, I'll probably hug you and say it again. My son was so excited. Yeah. He still remembers when you told him he was taller than me. Little things that you say, like, they just last with people. But, man... from the bottom of my heart, like, I've played with hundreds of guys just like you have, and I don't know if I could think of one guy that practices harder, that holds himself, you know, in a way that we all should. So enjoy it. It's on my birthday, so that's going to be a present for me watching you get honored publicly. Yeah. But, man, just basically wanted you on this podcast so we can say congratulations.
No, I appreciate it, man. I think for me, like, with this whole process happening is, like you say, like, you don't realize how many people guys I didn't even play with.
Yeah.
You know, and, hearing a guy like Marshawn Lynch come up to you and be like, man, you was a guy like I watched. Like, I just watched the way you carried yourself. Like, to hear that from, you know, those guys is, man, it's a great feeling because you don't know
who you're
affecting. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I never thought in a million years, man, like, playing a game, man, a kid's game, and you can, you know, just hearing people say, man, you the reason why I play football, or you the reason why I'm a Texans fan. Like, it's crazy, like, to hear that stuff. So, or even, like, I've came in contact with guys who've been in prison, and they was like, man, you don't know how much easier you made it for me when I was locked up. Like,
really?
Yeah.
That's strong.
Yeah, so it's crazy, man. So you never really know the effect you can have on people by just carrying yourself the right way and just knowing, you know, I'm not perfect, but, you know, I try to be the best person I can, so.
A couple things, and I know I said we're over. I have two more because, again, the effect. So the the Courtland Finnegan incident. That was the year after I retired. So I'm actually upstairs. When I say I had to hold myself from taking down the, like, first of all, my old ass would probably not even make it downstairs. But I know how you are, so to see you that upset, it just, to this day, annoyed the heck out of me. So I want to just, real quick, because people did it when I had my radio show, every quarter of the year, somebody will bring it up. Have y'all met since that has happened? Have y'all had a chance to
meet? I saw him once. Since that happened, but we don't speak.
Because of that?
I just don't really fool with dude, man. Like,
got you.
I don't know him personally. The crazy thing is, before that happened, we were at the Pro Bowl, and this year I think it was like three guys out of their secondary. They had a really good year this year. I can't remember what year it was, but they had like three guys out of their secondary. Him, Chris Hope, and Mike Griffin. Mm-hmm. They all made the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. And me and Chris Hope was real tight. So we were sitting on the back of the bus, and it's so funny because it's like I'm sitting on the back of the bus, but I'm surrounded by Tennessee Titans DBs, right? So we all sitting on the bus. Me and Chris is real tight because we played against each other in college. You know, Florida State guy. Mm-hmm. So we're talking, and Chris was more trying to kill he could tell it was like some tension between me and him. So
now, is this before the incident?
Yeah, this was before the
fight. Oh, so there was tension before that?
Yeah.
Because he'd been trolling for...
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got you.
So a lot of people don't realize we actually got in a fight. You just couldn't see it because it wasn't as big as the fight. But we got in a fight in Tennessee.
Okay.
So it was actually on our sideline.
But the same year? The same season?
No, this was the year before.
Okay.
So Chris was kind of trying to, you know, ease it, whatever. So I actually talked to him on the back of the bus that day. So I thought everything was cool after we talked on the back of the bus. And, man, I don't know, I guess. So we played them in Tennessee earlier that season. And that game, I got the best of him. And he was talking to me real reckless. So, and I just told him, I'm like, yo. Like, I was thinking everything was cool. Like, you know, I done played against a lot of guys and dudes talk a little trash on the field.
Right.
But it's just certain, like, we grown men. Certain stuff you just don't say.
Okay.
And he was talking kind of reckless. And I was just kind of, you know, we exchanged a few words. Fast forward, we come back, we play here. And he just kept, like, hitting me up under my helmet. And if you go back, I was mic'd up.
Mm-hmm.
That was a crazy thing. I was mic'd up that game. And I told the ref, like, I was like, hey, like, he was like, oh, I'm watching him, you know. And after that, we was up 20-0. And I was just like, I was sitting on the sideline. I was just like, you know what? I was like, I'm just going to beat it. And that's just how it went. Like, it wasn't even, because I don't know what it was. I just was sitting on the sideline, and I looked up at the scoreboard, and I saw the score, and I was like, we got this on the wrap. So I was like, I'm going to beat his ass.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, you've dropped so many gems today. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it. We went way over, but it's only once you could have not just a Hall of Famer, but the first ever, and they can never take that away from them, first ever Hall of Famer in the organization's history, Andre Johnson. Appreciate the time. I'm going to have to get with Candace so we could do a part 2, 3, 4, and 5 because there's so much I want to talk to you. But, man, I know you're busy. Like I said, and the words can't express how proud and happy we are for you. So congratulations and thanks for jumping in with us.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you for having me.
All right, that's going to do it for our most special episode of the OG Podcast. I'm Indy Kalu. That was Andre Johnson, a.k.a. HOF. We got to find a new nickname for him. That gold jacket, gold GJ. Nah, I'm gonna work on it. We're gonna find a new nickname for my man Andre Johnson. So we all realize we're talking to a Hall of Famer. We appreciate you, the listener. Don't touch that dial.